Herzlich willkommen beim ziemlich besten B2B Inbound Marketing Podcast No Leads, No Fun. B2B-Unternehmen, die wachsen wollen, sind hungrig auf gute Leads. Diesen Hunger stillt No Leads, No Fun mit Einblicken in unsere eigene Arbeit und die Arbeit erfolgreicher Inbound-Marketer aus der Welt der Wirtschaft und Agenturen. Wir von Takeoff haben Inbound nicht erfunden, aber 2012 nach Österreich gebracht. Seitdem arbeiten wir an unserem eigenen Inbound-Marketing-Prozess. Wir lernen von und mit unseren Kunden und probieren Dinge aus, die andere erfolgreiche Marketer weltweit einsetzen. Immer mit dem Ziel vor Augen, einen Inbound-Marketing-Prozess zu schaffen, der Kunden ohne Ende bringt.
Willkommen zu einer ganz besonderen Folge von No Leads, No Fun, dem ziemlich besten Inbound-Marketing-Podcast. Mein Name ist Patrick Burmeier und mein heutiger Gast ist jemand, den viele von euch als eine der prägendsten Stimmen im Inbound- und Content-Marketing kennen. Markus Sheridan. Mit seinem Bestseller They Ask You Answer hat er vor einigen Jahren eine regelrechte Content-Revolution ausgelöst. Und jetzt legt er mit seinem neuen Buch Endless Customers noch eine Schippe drauf. Wir sprechen darüber, warum es 2025 schwerer denn je ist, neue Kunden zu gewinnen, wie sich das Kaufverhalten dramatisch verändert hat und warum die alten Marketing- und Vertriebs-Playbooks nicht mehr funktionieren. Natürlich geht es auch um die vier zentralen Prinzipien von Endless Customers, konkrete erste Schritte für B2B-Unternehmen im deutschsprachigen Raum und wie man typische Einwände in der Dachregion elegant entkräftet. Und jetzt, let's switch to English and dive right in. Marcus, welcome to the show.
All right, buddy. I'm happy to be here and very happy to be with your audience and discuss the change that's happening in this world. When it comes to sales and marketing is extraordinary. And so I think it's a really important conversation that we're having right now.
Yeah, I think so too. We are super excited to have you here with us today because let's face it, here in the German speaking world, B2B marketing is still often brochures in PDF format, trades twice a year, and a website that always says, please contact for more information. So let's face it, that's actually the truth for us here. So when someone like you comes along and says, say what others won't say and publish your prices, for instance, well, that's basically a cultural revolution in Austria, Germany and Switzerland. Let's put it like that. Maybe before we dive in, have you ever tried to convince a German Mittelstand, so a German medium-sized CEO, to talk about pricing on their website? Did you ever try that?
I'm sure that I have, but you know, I've had thousands of conversations by this point. Let's clarify this just a little bit. I don't say we should publish the actual price, but I do say we have to have a conversation about pricing. There's two different things. Lots of times when people hear the conversation about cost and price, they just immediately think, I got to just slap my prices up there. What I'm saying is what's obvious, and that is when we're on a website, and we're researching a product or a service, and we cannot find any information on pricing, we get really frustrated. And we get so frustrated that generally we leave. Yes. And usually we will end up contacting the company that was willing to have a conversation about it. Well, companies need to understand whether it's pricing or anything else, but when it comes to pricing, the first question a buyer has when they start the buyer's journey, literally the first one, Patrick, is, roughly, what is this going to cost? So they're looking to get a feel for how much is it? They don't need to know an exact number, but they need to know, am I in the game? Can I even afford this? Is this even possible? What range are we looking at? See, those are the questions that they have. And so unless you address those as a business, you lose those people. And that's really scary. So this idea of, we don't want to talk about it until we're face to face. That's not following how we ourselves want to be treated online. If I talk to any German CEO and I said, well, how do you want to be treated online? Regardless of your industry, your customers, how do you want to be treated online? Do you believe in the golden rule? And the golden rule is treat others as you would want to be treated. And the answer to that is, everybody would prefer to be able to see these things beforehand, before forced to talk to a salesperson. That's just reality. And I need to say something else. And hopefully my folks in, you know, Austria, Germany, etc., won't get mad at me for this. You might say to yourself, Well, that's not how we do it. That's actually not true. That's not how you do it, but that's how some businesses do it. I know for a fact. And I also know for a fact that this is going to become eventually normal. So do you want to be the one that is reactive, that is allowing your competitors to do this first? Or do you want to be the one that is proactive, that's leading the way, that's seen as a leader in your space? There's a big, big difference between the two. And I mean this, it's easy for anyone to listen to this conversation that we're about to have. And they say, oh, we got this excited American. And he's just like all energy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what they need to be saying instead is, well, is what he's saying from a psychological perspective, could that be true? Would it create more trust?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. This isn't a German, an American, a European, a whatever you want to, just don't label it if you're listening to this right now. Don't label it. That's dangerous and it's going to prevent you from learning and creating breakthroughs in your organization.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So in some ways or in many ways, we make it harder for us on our own. We are standing in our own way. We're getting
yes,
in our way.
Yes, so that's
exactly it. Yeah, that's true. But Marcus, there are many, many more obstacles right now. There's much more that makes customer acquisition harder in 2025.
Yeah.
What the thing you are dealing with your customers on your journey, can you actually give us some example?
Yeah, there's a lot happening in the world. One of the major trends that is very problematic is there's a big trust deficit out there. We don't trust governments. We don't trust politicians. We don't trust businesses. We don't trust brands. We just are becoming less trusting. But when someone or something does something that is so unusual, that is so honest, we're willing to lean in and say, wow. So that's a big factor. We also see mega trends happening with the way buyers are changing. So if you look at the way buyers are changing right now, in November of 2022, ChatGPT came out, and that's had a ripple effect across the entire world. Because for 20-some years, Patrick, we've been able to use Google, and businesses have been able to benefit from Google, either through organic search benefits or through paid. Every single company I've talked to this year is saying, organic search, traditional SEO is getting harder,
yeah.
Paid ads getting harder, and so you might be spending more on Google than you've ever spent, and you're getting less results than you've ever gotten. And that's because of everything that's happening. You know, roughly 50% of all searches on Google and no click at all. Why? Because they see the answer on the screen. They don't have to click. And you can be ranked number one in Google. And what does it mean? It means you're buried because you see the AI summary. You see related questions. You might see a map. You're going to see a bunch of sponsored searches or links. You're buried. And so it's getting harder and there's more content than ever. And a lot of these folks are using agencies and they're saying, I don't even know what I'm getting from my agency. What am I even getting for what I'm paying? So there's a lot of problems out there, but of course there's always tremendous opportunity. And in Endless Customers, I wanted people to see the opportunity. I wanted them to see a system that they could follow to achieve one core thing, the whole goal of the Endless Customer System is that you will become, if you follow it, the most known and trusted brand in your market. Period. That's it. That's the goal. And this much I'm sure of. In 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, trust is going to be fundamental to your success as a brand.
Yes.
Google's not, probably. Facebook's not, probably. Because these are platforms. They come and they go. But trust is going to be paramount. It's going to be fundamental to your business always. And so build a system around a principle of truth and you're going to be built to last.
You just mentioned it. Around 50% of all clicks are no clicks or non-clicks to websites from search right now. And there's even more statistics out there that state between 40 and 50% of all searches are brand specific searches. So that actually that means what you just said becomes even more important, right? You need to be a trustworthy brand out there. The most trusted brand in your niche, in your area, in your
yes.
in your industry, whatever.
Well, that's exactly right. And brand is going to be the catalyst, the key going forward. Whereas in the past, you didn't have to have a great brand. You just throw a bunch of money at Google Ads and, hey, you're going to be okay. But that's not going to continue to be very viable, at least not in a lot of industries. And so to build an extraordinary brand, you can't sell and you can't market like everybody else. And that's the big rally cry of endless customers, is the willingness to be different, to be disruptive, to not walk the same path as everyone else. And listen, again, let me say something about the German-Austrian market that might be offensive. And I'm okay offending people, because if I'm being honest and it offends someone, it's because it's honest, not because I was being mean. I was just being honest. The German market as a whole tends to be extremely conservative when it comes to marketing.
Yes.
And because of that, guess what? It's very easy to stand out if you're just willing to be an outlier. I would love to have a business in Germany. I'm not kidding you. I would crush it. The reason I would crush it is because I would break rule after rule after rule. I would be willing to do non-traditional things. And I'm not upset if the competitor gets annoyed with me, because I care more about the customer and what they want. You see, what one person calls crazy or disruptive, the next person says, wow, that's perfect. Thank you so much. Right? It's like, yeah, that's the thing. Because it's usually, innovation is usually found in obsessing over what does the customer want. So that's why I go back, we started this conversation with the golden rule and treating others as you would want to be treated. I don't find that very daring or courageous. I find that to be very common sense. The problem is, common sense is oftentimes very uncommon.
Yeah, and there's this little thing out there called German Angst. And we have a lot of stuff we worry about. And one thing is to do something wrong in some way. And that is exactly what's happening always with marketing we do in the German speaking world. There's a lot of stuff we just don't do because we don't think it will work, or we are afraid of that we are struggling with something. So that's the old playbook, right? So there's a lot of stuff that won't work any longer. And endless customers addresses these challenges. And there has been an evolution from they ask you answer to endless customers. Can you explain a little bit more how this philosophy has evolved?
Well, they ask you answer was a very powerful book, you know, and you've had a big part in that, Patrick, and, you know, in the German market there. You know, it's changed a lot of lives, a lot of businesses. It came from my story as a pool guy here in the U.S. We almost lost the business in 2008 and 2009. And then we would really went on to become what is essentially like the Wikipedia of fiberglass swimming pools in the U.S. We became very aggressive with addressing every question, every concern on our website, through text, through video. And we became the most trafficked swimming pool website in the world by doing this. And the principles of They Ask You Answer still very much apply across the board. But I couldn't do what I did in 2008, 2009 to my swimming pool company today if I was starting it fresh and expect to get the same results. Why? Because there's a lot more competition and because the buyer is a lot more spread out. You know, when I started this, people weren't doing like, you know, they weren't scrolling TikTok for 3 hours a day, you know, in 2008 and 2009. And there was no such thing as vertical video or short form video. It didn't exist. And people consuming that all day long. And so social media wasn't nearly as big as a buyer's research tool as it is today. You see what I'm saying? So all these things are evolutions. Yes. The buyer's becoming more spread out. They're not just doing their thing on Google. And in fact, Google owns less than 20% of all searches, just generally speaking. I'm not talking about search engine searches. I'm talking about if you combine things like Amazon searches, if you look at all social media searches, Google currently is less than 20%, and it's only going to go down as ChatGPT, Claude, et cetera, increase in terms of their influence out there. And so what we said is, all right, we need to make this more systematic, and we want to make sure that it is built to last. What we came up with was there's four pillars that the book is built around called the four pillars of a known and trusted brand. And here's what they are. The first pillar is you need to be willing to say online in your space what others aren't willing to say. You mentioned one earlier, which is about pricing, having that pricing conversation. There's a lot of examples of that that I could share. I start the book with one specific one. There's a kitchen appliance retailer in Massachusetts called Steve Scheinkopf, and he is the CEO of Yale Appliance. And when he embraced these principles that they ask you answer now, endless customers, he would constantly hear from customers, what's the least serviced, most reliable kitchen appliance brand that you sell? Mm-hmm. And so he had a choice. He could address this question, answer it online, or he could ignore it. Because he knew if he addressed it, he was going to highlight some of his brands as good, but he was also going to show some of the flaws in some of the brands that he was selling as well.
Yes.
And so what Steve did, he did something really extraordinary. He created a chart that showed every brand he sells, the total units he has sold for each one of his brands, the total service calls he has gone on for each one of those brands, and therefore you learn the least and the most serviced brand that he sells. This was so successful the first year it came out, it was getting read 50,000 times a month, which is crazy if you think about it. 50,000 times a month. And since then, he does this every single year, and all the industry waits for it. And these manufacturers wait for it too. Steve is just a retailer in Massachusetts, but he's the gatekeeper. He's the trusted advisor. He's the go-to source. Why? Because he was willing to have a conversation online with data, all facts. It was nothing to debate. He was willing to have a conversation that no one else was willing to have. And that's the opportunity. So that's the first pillar. Say what others aren't willing to say. Now, the second pillar is show with video what others in your space aren't willing to show. You know, one thing that Germany in the past was great for, and I still think it's an important part of the economy, is manufacturing. And I have a manufacturing, or had a manufacturing company here in the U.S. with my pool company. And we had so much success with it. We sold it in the early 2020s. But to make it explode, what we did is we were the first fiberglass pool manufacturer in the U.S. to show exactly how we make our pools. So stuff that you would think was like secret or proprietary, we showed it. We created a series of 8 videos, 10 minutes long each. And if you wanted to start a manufacturing company for fiberglass pools, Patrick, you could literally watch these videos and learn how to do it. And I had manufacturers tell me, that's kind of crazy, man. Like, what are you doing? You're sharing your secret sauce. I'm like, there's no such thing as secret sauce. Stop. You don't have some secret sauce. Don't act like you do. And I knew we didn't. What the homeowner wants to see is how is the thing made, right? That's what we want to see. If someone says, would you prefer to see your sandwich made in front of you or in the kitchen? I'd rather see it made in front of me. Yes. So that causes trust to go up. So, you know, it's all the same psychology. So if you're listening to this right now, I'd ask you, what are you showing that others aren't willing to show? And you as an organization have to start thinking like a media company because everything is moving towards video. And there's a strong argument to be made. And this is going to just, some people will say, I don't believe that, but that's fine. I'm here for it. There's a strong argument that is your YouTube channel will be more important than your website in 5 years. I could see that absolutely happening. And are you preparing for that? If you're not, you could be in big trouble in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, whatever it is. That's where we're headed.
And you need to add here, it's easier than ever to produce videos now in 2025. Yes. I mean, it's so easy.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, somebody might be listening to this and they might say, well, I'm just not good on video.
Yeah.
Well, that's not an excuse because nobody's ever come to your website and said, I really wish I could watch a video right now, but I'm sure they're just not good on video. So I'm going to give them a pass. That's not how it works. The way it works is the consumer, the buyer, all they care about is, can I get what I want? Can I watch the thing? Can I learn what I want to learn? Can I get the information I want to get? So you have to get over yourself and you have to embrace the trend, not try to buck the trend, not try to push against the trend. It doesn't work. I'm telling you, do not allow your personal opinion to mess up business opportunity. But people do it all the time. So that's the second pillar. Show what others aren't willing to show. Third pillar, That is, sell in a way that others aren't willing to sell. Okay. Everybody thinks they have a special sales process, Patrick. Very few do once you actually analyze the sales process that they have. I will tell you this. A recent stat came out. This was B2B. 75% of all buyers say they would prefer to have a seller-free sales experience. What does this mean? Well, this doesn't mean we hate salespeople. It just means that we don't want to talk to a salesperson until we are ready, until we're confident, until we're comfortable, until we feel like we're not going to make a mistake. This is why when someone says call for quote, call for pricing, et cetera, you're like, ah, I'm so frustrated with this. So what this means is you can say, all right, I wish selling would go back to the way that it was, or I'm going to take advantage of this trend. Well, if you're smart, you take advantage of the trend. How do you take advantage of it? Through what's called self-service. Self-service are tools that are on your website or online that allow someone to have an interactive experience with a non-human that allows them to get an answer or take an action that previously they would have had to have gotten through talking with a person, like a salesperson, for example. Now, in Endless Customers, the book, there's 5 examples of these self-service tools. All 5 are going to be very applicable to almost every business that is listening to this right now. I'll just talk about a couple briefly. So one of the majors that we've seen is very effective is a self-scheduling tool. Now, how does this work? The way that works is you go online. Let's imagine you want to talk to the company. So you say, all right, well, I don't want to have to talk to a human to schedule time with them. I'm just going to schedule time. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, Patrick. What we've experimented with is a self-scheduling tool that allows the buyer to see and then select the different salespeople that they work with. So imagine this. Imagine, Patrick, that you're going to go to a kitchen appliance store for your new kitchen next week, and you want to get all your appliances. You go to this company's website to schedule a time because you want to make sure that somebody's available to work with you because, you know, you're going to spend probably a couple hours choosing appliances. Yeah. Now, when you go to schedule this, you click on a link and it shows you all their salespeople. You see 6 salespeople. You get to see their image. You get to read their biography. You get to watch a video about each one of them that introduces themselves to you. And then you get to choose which one you want to work with, and you sync up with them, and you create an appointment with that person. When you go to that store, you already know who you're going to work with because you chose who you're going to work with. Here's what we found. Whenever a company does this, and this has happened multiple, we've now done this with multiple companies, closing rates double. When you choose who you're going to work with from a sales perspective, closing rates double. And it's all because we want choice.
Yeah.
I bet you there's not a single company listening to this podcast right now that allows someone to choose their salesperson. This is novel in the US. I can tell you nobody in Europe is doing it, man. I've got a company in New Zealand that's doing it and they're crushing with it. Yale Appliance is doing it too. And it's going to become a mega trend. You watch. And usually when I make a prediction, most of them come true. Because I just see the world that way, and it's usually right when it comes to sales and marketing. Now, let me give you another example of self-service, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is self-pricing tools. Now, here's the thing about a self-pricing tool. It's really an estimation tool. It gives someone an estimate, not a quote, an estimate, a range. It addresses the question, here's what you might spend. So let's say somebody is coming to your website. And the website, you're selling commercial insurance. And the question is, how much am I going to spend on my commercial insurance? Well, if I was talking to a commercial insurance provider and I said, how much would we spend on this? They would say, well, I've got to send it out to get exact quotes, but let me ask you some questions and I can give you a general range as to what you might be looking at.
Yeah.
See, that's what most people want. Could you do that on your website? Yes. Yes, you could do that on your website. What's wild is most companies won't do this because they feel like it's backing them in a corner. What it does is it creates an incredible amount of leads that you wouldn't have gotten. I started a software company last year called PriceGuide.ai. What this tool does, it allows people to build a pricing estimator very quickly and easily using the help of AI. And I have a ton of data now with estimators because I've got hundreds of customers already using this tool. What we find, whenever anybody adds a pricing estimator to their homepage with the phrase, get instant estimate, all right? So that's the call to action phrase. If someone does that, they're going to see a 3 to 500% increase in conversions from their website. Can you imagine you're getting 5 leads a week, let's say, and suddenly you just put this simple little tool on your site that costs you almost nothing, and now you're getting 15 leads a week? What type of financial impact would that have on your business? And so, you know, this is a really big deal. Price Guide is incredibly effective. It can be used for any company. I see all service-based businesses going in this direction in the future, Patrick. I think this is where we're all headed.
And I mean, whatever you do, if you still try to optimize your website for search or you're trying to optimize for AI searches, whatever you do, still one of the most searched key phrases out there in the world is how much does this and that costs. So it's still something we want to know.
If they come to your website, are you winning? So we want them to take action. Otherwise, we don't even know they came. This is the quickest way, because if all you have is a bunch of calls to action that say, get a quote, get pricing, talk to a sales rep, whatever, that's more than most people want to do initially. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to address this, get instant estimate, now you're going to see an explosion of conversions. Why would you not do that? I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. Fear? What? Fear? Me, I'm way more afraid of not having enough leads than I am having too many leads.
I mean, that actually leads to your fourth pillar, right?
Yeah. The fourth pillar is be more human than others in your space are willing to be. So what's an example of this? Once again, in German-speaking markets, this is going to be resisted conversation. But let me give you some examples. Number one, everybody's listening to this right now sends out sales emails or emails in general. And the emails are text-based. Why aren't you sending out video-based emails from your sales team? If your sales team has a sales call next week with someone and they're sending a pre-call email, why would you not do it with video? It's clear. The person gets to know you, gets to know your voice, gets to see your face. They're going to trust you more. But yet, we're 25 years now using email. 25 years plus, Patrick, almost 30. And we're still sending essentially the exact same style of emails. That's crazy to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. And besides that, you talk on average 100 to 150 words a minute. Can you show me somebody that can type 100 to 150 words a minute? I can't do it. And, you know, I type decent. I can't come close to that. So it's way more efficient if you're answering, especially, you know, anything that requires much of an answer. Another example of this, as the leader of the company, are you putting yourself out there? Can I see your images? Can I see you on video if I come to your website? Or do I see a bunch of stock photos that doesn't even really represent your team, that doesn't represent you? You need to get from behind the desk and from behind the camera. You need to get in front of the camera. People should associate your face with your brand. People pay attention to people much more than they pay attention to brands. If I said to this audience right now, have you ever heard of Kylie Jenner? They'd say, yes. If I said, do you know the name of her makeup line? They would say, I'm not sure. And some of them would know. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's got a $1 billion makeup line.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the name of the line. I know Kylie Jenner. I look at, I don't know if y'all have this in where you're at. One of the very popular fast food chain around the world is called Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC.
And yep, there's we have this that here as well.
Famous guy, Colonel Sanders. And so Colonel Sanders is the face of KFC. People around the world know that face. Old guy. He's dead for a long time. He still knows his face. You see what I'm saying? Who's the face of your brand? Most brands don't have a face associated with them. That's problematic, actually. And you might say, well, I don't want my face associated with my brand. Okay, fine. But that's not aligning with what the buyer wants. And I am the type of person that aligns with the buyer because, well, the market doesn't care about my feelings and my opinions.
I mean, when we launched this podcast in 2022, it was shortly after I completed my certification with your team and you, the Ask Your Answer certification. At that time, our goal here was to share our practical experience applying the They Ask You Answer philosophy within or with German companies, actually. And as far as I know, we were the very first podcast that actually spoke about the They Ask You Answer philosophy. And over the years, several of our listeners right now discovered this mythology through the podcast and went on implementing it. I would say some of them very successfully within their companies. But since then, a lot has changed. You already said that. You already said you couldn't do the same thing you did in 2008, 2009, what you did back then and apply it to today. There's a lot of stuff that actually is new to the world, like artificial intelligence and stuff like that. So if you could give us an example for, I would say, the one thing you would actually recommend to every B2B company out there right now, what to do first if they want to start and generate endless customers, what would you say? How should they start right now?
Here's the first thing I would do. I would say, let's brainstorm every single question a potential buyer has about our product or service. Okay. So do that. And you could do that with the help of AI very, very easily. And then you say, okay, of these, how many have we addressed well on our website and online? And be honest. So this is just a simple activity. Quick brainstorm. You should have dozens and dozens of questions. And then how many have you addressed well on your website and online? And for most people, they're going to see it's less than 10%. And that should make you sick to your stomach. And that's a sense of this is where we need to start. This is what we need to do.
Marcus, what can I say? I think this short episode felt like a masterclass with just the right amount of tough love. Let's say it like that. There was some tough love in here.
That's what it is. Love, below Patrick. Like I don't want people to fail with their business. No. Because I've looked over the brink of bankruptcy. I've looked over that cliff. It doesn't feel good. And you know, it's crazy times out there in the world. I want these people, these listeners, to have financial peace in their life. And that's why I'm passionate about this. And it's not because I'm some crazy American. There's a lot of shy Americans that are quiet, and that's fine too. I'm passionate about this because it changed my life. And if you're listening to this, it could change yours too.
Yeah. And thank you for shaking things up. I mean, in the best possible way. I'm pretty sure without you, because let's be honest, without your advice, many of us would still be publishing boring blog posts nobody wants to read, actually. So a lot has changed since you published The Ask Your Answer, and we are very much looking forward to the new book, Endless Customers. And at this point, I just have to say thank you for joining No Leads, No Fun, our podcast today. Take care, and we hope to see you again, maybe even someday live in Germany.
I've never spoken in Germany. It's one of my goals. I wanted to see if I could make them laugh at my jokes. So that's one of my big goals in life. So hopefully one of these days it will happen.
Looking forward to that. Thank you, Marcus.
You're welcome, buddy.
That's it.
Good time.
Das war wieder eine ziemlich beste Episode von No Leads, No Fun. Wir freuen uns über Bewertungen auf Spotify, Apple Podcast und anderen Plattformen. Schreib uns dein Feedback auch gerne per Mail. Den ersten zwei Feedbacks, die wir nach jeder Episode erhalten, schenken wir ein großartiges Buch, das euch helfen wird, Kunden ohne Ende zu gewinnen. Schreibe an martin.bredel@takeoffpr.com. Das Buch senden wir per Post.